North Rock Podcast.
Well, good morning. Good morning, North Rock. Morning. How are you guys? Great. We're good?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys as excited as I am about this new series, Blessed to Bless, Unwrapping a Theology of Blessing?
Yes.
Like two of us, three, four. Hey, there we go. All right. We are excited in the house tonight. Come on, Coop, give me some support up here, would you? Hey, it's great to have you here this morning. I am really excited about not just the series, because I think that in this series, we're going to have some fun, and we're going to do kind of what we've been talking about all morning, prepare our hearts for that great event of Christ's child coming into this world, right? Christmas is all about anticipating God's promise to the world, right? We understand that, we believe that, but I can tell you that even as we're in church today, trying to focus our hearts and our attention and our lives on that very fact, I can get a little anxious. Matthew went through a little list of things that need to be done before Christmas arrives, didn't he? Uh-oh, I'm behind, right? And then I'm greeting people, just minding my own business, and my friend Jonathan here says, well, are you ready? Are you prepared? I said, for what? He says, for Christmas. Well, I think I am. I might be. I'm not quite sure. But that's what this series is all about, is anticipating the blessing of who that promised Christ child is. Because if you're like me, life can kind of take off a little bit faster and pick up speed, even in a season where we're trying to get our hearts to just slow down a little bit. Just put it into slow-mo and enjoy the journey. Amen? That's what Christmas is about. That's the reason for the season. And I got to admit that I do have these two wars going on inside of me. One of them is I'm feeling behind. I need to go buy presents. I need to get ready for this. And we need to have this ready to go. We need to have services ready. And there's the other side that this year I feel like I'm looking forward to Christmas more than I ever have in my life. That more and more and more I'm learning at this stage and age of my life, the age of my kids, and maybe it's the Advent that we've been focusing on in my preparation for our series, that this is a season to remember and be blessed and remember that the blessings are for us, but not just for us, but for others, right? Yeah, so I've been having these two dynamics warring inside of me, and there's this one part of me that there's like this slow music, you know, Christmas music in the background. Like, it's like I can almost hear it as I'm walking around. Hey, wait a minute. There it is again. Wait, you guys hear that too? Oh, that's great. I'm glad it's not just me. It's all of us, right? I got to admit, I'm more nostalgic about it this year. I'm more focused on the majestic season of what the Christmas season is all about. But I also understand that season, as I focus on that, that I see more joy in my life. How many of you guys could use more joy, right? How many of you guys could use more hope? That as I focus my attention, as I slow my roll, I understand that Christmas is coming. And because Christmas is coming, everything is going to be okay. More joy, more hope, more peace, more love, more presents, right? Anybody excited about getting presents this Christmas? Because if you're not, I'm sorry, because I'm really excited about it. Part of the Christmas season is remembering that we get presents and that we get to give presents. And the way that we approach those presents kind of has a value tag attached to it, doesn't it? Right? That as we approach Christmas, as we approach this present, this gift, this promised child of Christ, it has a value to us in the way that we approach it. How many of you guys know that when we go to the Christmas tree, there's always that one anticipated gift, right? The one that we know we've been wanting, right? It's the Red Ryder rifle series, the BB gun, right? Yeah, right? It's that one, right? Yeah, you'll have to be careful. You shoot your eye out. That's right. That's right. There's always that anticipated gift. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about today, is how is it that we can reapproach this gift, this story that maybe some of us have heard a million times by now, and see it as that one anticipated gift. Because the great part about the wrapping on the box and the gift is that the value inside is hidden, right? So I hold this gift right here, and it could be you know, Sister Susie's socks that she sent me this year. And you guys know I would approach that gift a little bit differently knowing that. But if I thought it was that Mercedes, it's in here somewhere, right? And I'd keep coming up to the tree. I'd keep looking at it. I'd keep going, oh, is it in there? You guys laugh. It could be in here. It really could be, right? Well, I use that as just an illustration, a metaphor to remind us that the reason for the season is that we would make room for this Messiah, for this Christ child to enter into our lives, and that we would remember that the covenant gift of relationship with Jesus Christ unlocks, unwraps all of the promises of God for our lives. It's not just my opinion, it's what the scriptures teach. Jesus is that long-awaited gift to the world that unwraps all the promises that people all around the world are waiting for this year. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 says exactly that. It says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. With a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, that ascends to God for his glory. Okay, undoubtedly that Christmas has a tension in it, the material side and the majestic side, right? But I believe that God wants us to live a life that enjoys the fun of the season. You guys know that as a church, we can become a little over-religious at times, right? Trying to separate the fun from the holy, right? And I think that we should be a people that embrace all of it, that enjoy all of it, and remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, but it's not just something we learn, it's something we live, right? Something that we live. And that if we'll practice being in his presence as we go about purchasing our gifts, as we go about buying the presents and wrapping the presents and doing the present side, that can actually be a form of worship as well. Do you guys believe that with me this morning? It really is about the eyes that we open these presents with, that we would see with expectant hearts. We would keep coming back to the tree, keep coming back to this day that Christ was born and saying, wow, Emmanuel, God is with us. Can you imagine what it felt like to the Magi when they first heard about this? Can you imagine with me Mary's miracle, right? That's one of the things we're going to look at today. Two personalities from the Bible that were called blessed so that they would be a blessing. One of them, Mary. One of them, Abram. But we're going to talk about that I think that when we slow our roll, when we really focus on this, we can restore a sense of wonder about what Christmas is all about. So, and in doing so, it heightens that anticipation of being blessed to be a blessing. How many of you guys believe that God wants to bless you this morning? Not just with a little message, not just with something, but that he really, really wants to bless you. Because if we don't believe that, then we usually don't feel that. And if we don't feel that, we usually don't act that way, right? So a couple of things we're going to talk about today. One is that if we're going to be a blessed people, we have to understand what blessing is from the Bible, what its purpose is, what its meaning is, and how we access it. Two, we have to believe that the one who wants to bless us is a generous, generous Father. Right? You guys know one of my favorite parts of Christmas right now is buying presents for my kids. And that is what's fun. It's seeing those things happen in their lives. That's what God wants to do in our lives, right? And so we're going to look at two stories. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to unwrap this theology of blessing. Okay, but for today, we're going to talk about anticipating that Christ child. We're looking in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And it's the story of Mary, the miracle of Mary, and the birth of Jesus being foretold. Let's pray and we'll jump into the scripture. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come to worship you, to hear your word. Father, we pray that we would not just hear it, Lord, but that we would receive it into our spirits, into our lives. And Lord, you would show us those places of application, those places where we can slow our roll, that we can practice the presence of Christ in the midst of this season. And Lord, that we would be a people who really do wrestle with and unwrap a theology of blessing, knowing that it's you blessing others through our lives that makes a difference in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it starts this way. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, the descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed. Sometimes we read right past that. You guys catch that, right? She's kind of looking around going, me, right? Because, I mean, in Christian tradition, we've really built Mary up into something, maybe even more than what the text says, right? But she says, what, me? What? What, me? Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. He said, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." Little problem. Just a little one, right? Little challenge, right? Little challenge, but she says, "Hey, how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. I love reading the scriptures because it's always got this mind-blowing scenarios, right? This little lady named Mary, virgin, God shows up, and Mary has to do a couple of things in order for her to receive her Mary miracle. Okay, the first one is that she needed to consider what the word of God was for her. Right? That's what it said in verse 34. It said that Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm but a virgin." In other words, he said something about her. "You are blessed among women," right? "You are favored." And yet she didn't feel favored, so she said, "Who, me? What are you talking about?" But she had to consider those things. Second thing that Mary had to do was she had to not just consider herself, but who it was that was talking to her, right? How many of you guys know that Mary understood that when you're in the presence of God, all things are possible? Right? All things are possible. And so she decided she was not only going to consider what was being said, but that she was going to choose to believe that she would be able to conceive the miracle that God had waiting for her. And how many of you guys are glad that she chose that path, right? I mean, we all understand that as people in church, in modern day Christianity here in America, we tend to sometimes listen to the word of God and go, that was nice, right? But each of us, the same as Mary, have a chance to consider, to choose, and then to conceive what it is that God has for our lives, that we would be blessed as a people and believe that that's God's best intention for us, right? I know that as we sit here today, we wrestle with it. That's okay for Mary, but I mean, that's Mother Mary. Of course she's blessed. She's blessed amongst all women. But me? I don't know. But here's the great part is in the scriptures, Mary's not the first person to be blessed. She's not the first person to be kind of chosen to do something, for God to do something great with her life. So I thought it was only fair if we're talking about Mother Mary, we should talk about Father Abraham this morning as well, right? Yeah, got some children. We got some people still from children's church in here. They're ready to sing the song, Father Abraham, right? No, let's not do that. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that this morning. Mary isn't the first or the only person to be called blessed. Church, we are those people as well. Through Christ, all those promises of God are unleashed in our lives. Let's go back to Abram. Genesis chapter 12, we hear the call of Abram. Abram's a guy that's doing really well for himself. He's having a great time. He's following God. Things are awesome in his life. And this is in a season after kind of the train wreck of Genesis 1 through 11, right? You guys read your Bibles a little bit. You know that sin enters the world, that God in his intention in the garden was to bless us and to make sure that things went well for us. We chose to go a different way. So the first 11 chapters of Genesis are a little discouraging, right? I mean, all kinds of just fallout and family troubles and problems that are going on. And here we pick up in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord comes to Abram and he says, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family and go to a land that I'm going to show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I'm going to read that one more time. I will bless you and I will make you famous and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. So again, another scenario, right? Abram, things are going well in his life. He's loving what's going on. God shows up, says, listen, you're blessed. I've got a plan to bless the whole world through you. And I need you to go from where you're at, the place that things are going well, into a very scary, dangerous world. So Abram has to do the same thing as Mary. Consider what's being said, choose, and then conceive what God might be saying to him in his life, right? Unwrapping a theology of blessing requires at least three things. One, believing that God really does want to bless us. Two, that our blessing is inherently given through our relationship with Christ. So we just read, right? Either it's true or it's not true, but it just said that all the promises of God, right, are what? Yes, and amen, through our relationship with Christ. So unwrapping a theology of blessing requires belief and response. Belief and response. And only by believing and blessing does God release that nation's blessing through Abram. Did you guys catch that in the story? So let's talk just a few minutes about blessing, and then we're going to kind of wrap up with a response time, okay? So first, we got to believe that God's a blesser, that we are blessed in Christ, and that God's plan, so that it's fair, right, is that we would be his extension to bless others, right? So let's take a moment to talk about blessing. Blessing is creational and it's relational, right? I just told you in the beginning, God blessed. There's the garden. Things were taken care of. In blessing, the word in the scriptures always includes multiplication, a spreading, a filling, an abundance. The root word is kind of a BRK, Burke, and it's blessing. And it occurs 88 times in Genesis. 88 times it says, this is my intention as your father in heaven to bless you. But not just to bless you, to bless you and send you so you would be a blessing to others, that they would know that I want to bless them. And every time that word showed up in the scripture, it always had some kind of increase in it. Increase of family, of flock, because there was a lot of, agricultural, is an agricultural society, right? And then wealth. Okay, and sometimes there's a combination of all three of those things. But the blessing is in creation. It's creational. That it's God's plan to bless us. Okay, but I can also tell you that it feels weird, doesn't it? To one, believe that God wants to bless us, but even more to ask for blessing. How many of you guys believe this morning that God wants you to ask to be blessed? Oh, he wants us to be blessed, church, and he wants us to ask for it. Okay, because there's really two different ways at Christmas I can be selfish, right? How many of you guys have had two-year-olds before or been around one? Yeah. Me, mine, right? Hey, I can get that way. I am stoked to open up a whole stack of presents this Christmas, right? That's what I want. That's okay. But God's plan is that he wants us to not only be blessed but to be a blessing, that there's a flow through that God intends in our lives, and that as we hold things lightly, as we open the gifts of Christ in our lives to share with others, he continues to pour out more and more and more of that blessing. But it's not just in creation, it's relational. It's vertical with God. It's our worship. It's building altars of prayer and trust and a deepening personal intimacy with God. That's what the Bible talks about when it says you're blessed. So by that definition, you guys feeling more blessed today? Amen. Blessed is creational and it's relational. Okay? But it doesn't just go there. I made that point. It goes out horizontally that God wants to reach the people in our lives through us. That we can't wait for some angel to show up and do business, right? That his plan is in Christ that we would be his arms, his feet, his heart, his hands to this world. Okay, the second thing is that blessing is covenantal and it's ethical. In other words, there's always this connection in the scriptures that when God blesses, he expects some sort of output. that he gives it to us, entrusts it to us to steward for his purposes and for his will in this world. Okay? How many of you guys have ever seen the t-shirt or heard the person say it or read the bumper sticker? Let me read it so I get it right. Favor isn't fair. Right? I just walked past somebody the other week. Anybody else seen that? Let me see your hand. Anybody seen the guy that walks around that shirt? Favor ain't fair. Favor isn't fair. Just kind of flaunting it around, right? The God's blessed me, but good luck with you. Right? Favor isn't fair. And my question is it? And if this is God's plan for everybody, that the blessing is covenantal and it's ethical, that the command and the promise are inextricably linked, that God's intentions in creation was to bless with all the good gifts and he longs for people to enjoy in this world. Okay? So again, blessing is not just for us, it's for us and for others. So here's basically what I just said. Blessing in Jesus is unconditional, right? It's unconditional in the sense that God's choice, his address, his command, and his promise don't depend on any prior condition that Abraham fulfilled or that I fulfilled or that you fulfill, right? That it's in that covenant relationship that all of the promises have been fulfilled and that are available to us. But on the other hand, there is an implied conditionality in the Scriptures, right? In that upon receiving that blessing, the purpose of God's favor in our life, the purpose of God's blessing upon our life, the purpose of his gifts and the money entrusted to us, that we would all be generously distributed throughout the world. Why? Why? What did it say in Genesis chapter 12? That the whole world would be blessed, right? The whole world would be blessed. How many of you guys could use abundance this Christmas season? As we focus on the gift, the promise, I pray for more abundance in our lives, fruitfulness, fertility. Well, maybe not all of them. Long life, peace, covenant relationships, right? Rest. Rest in this season. Still our hearts before the Lord. They'd be enjoyed in the context of healthy relationships with God and with others. You guys know that that's the blessing of God? That's how you can see it. That's how we can spot it. And that's how we can participate in it, right? So, in other words, having been redeemed, having been given this chosen status that God has given those in Christ, right? Having been called into that covenant relationship, the people of God are to live a distinctive, a holy, and ethical life before God in the sight of all nations. And as we do that, we are the light unto the world, right? So how can we know that we're blessed in Christ? I mean, Mother Mary, yeah, absolutely. Father Abraham, most definitely. But what about us? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says this, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. "There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and now you belong to Christ. You are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." I'd like to ask the worship team to come up. And as they lead us in a song of worship here, I want us to spend a little bit of time thinking about what it means to be blessed, to be blessed. I want us to think about maybe some areas that we can grow in our ability to unwrap the bless-to-bless principle in our life. I want us to take a little bit of time this morning and just consider God's generosity, that he would send his one and only begotten Son, the Messiah in a manger, so that we could experience blessing and be a blessing to this world. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we thank you that you have promises in our lives that are still sitting under the tree, Lord. They're unwrapped. They haven't been opened because we haven't accessed it. So, Father, I pray that we would be a people that would boldly come before you and say, God, bless me that I would be a blessing to others. Lord, we know that we can be selfish with just the me, bless me, bless me, bless me. But, Lord, we also know there's a sense of selfishness in saying, I have enough, Lord. Don't worry about me. I'm good to go. because we are on mission together. That part of the blessing is that it's covenantal. It's part of being part of your family, but it's part of being on mission for you too. Lord, I pray that you would bless us, that you'd bless these people abundantly, beyond measure. Lord, that we would return that to those who you've put into our lives. Father, as we take time to reflect on you and to worship and to still our hearts and to hear your word, Lord, we acknowledge that it's because Mary came under the power of your Holy Spirit that that miracle was conceived. Lord, we pray for those miracles to be conceived in our own lives today, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.